Well, guess what? He's not married to any of them because they did what you should do. If you ever hear that, and they ran, all right? Similar story. A friend of mine from another church, also loves the Lord, at one point came up to me and said, you know, so-and-so, it's a mutual friend. Well, the Lord told me that we're going to get married. And I was astounded because I was like, you guys aren't even dating. No, God told me. Well, today they are both married to different people. So that's story number two. Story number three, and I've shared the story before, comes from when I was about 23, 24 years old. I just started working in my career as a geologist. I was sitting in church, and for those of you who know me, I'm not very emotional. Some of you may even describe me as emotionally stunted. Anyway, there I was sitting in church, and there's a lady who came up, and she often shared prophetically in church, and she was one of our more reliable, trusted prophets in the church, and she got up to share something that was very general. So it's just something along the lines of, hey, church, God has made you in a certain way, and he wants you to use you in a certain way. And today's the day you need to say yes to that. Now, 999 times out of 1,000, I would have gone, just that's a great encouragement for everyone to hear. On that particular day, the only way I can describe it is like a lightning bolt from heaven pierced my heart. And I started getting so deeply emotional. When I say emotional, snot en trane emotional. People looking around and staring at me emotional. And so I walked out and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that the Lord is calling me to full-time ministry. And he led me on a journey that has led me here. And so that has turned out true and powerful. In fact, the same lady, a few years later, at that stage, I was the worship pastor of that church. And I was going to London to spend some time with some worship leaders in London. And she wanted to pray for me. And she said, Stephen, I just feel like the Lord has told me that the Lord wants to give you your wife now in this season. Little did she know that I set my eyes on a young lass, Bianca Sue Saul. And here we are married 15 years later. So what I'm trying to illustrate, yes, what I'm trying to illustrate with these three stories is story number one, despite his best intentions, probably prophesying, not prophesying. Story number two, manipulation, misuse, abuse. And story number three, the real deal, where God did some amazing, fruitful things that's still bearing fruit. And so as we talk about the New Testament gift of prophecy, I know that across this congregation are a whole lot of shared experiences where we have been hurt, we have been disappointed, we have had our hopes dashed. We have maybe experienced abuse in the name of prophecy. And I'm sure if I gave you the microphone, there are people here who would say, listen, but there have been moments where either God has used me or God has used somebody else to speak such powerful truth into my life that has been so fruitful and so powerful. So I want to recognize that. But now you might be asking this question. Stephen, there are so many spiritual gifts. You put them all on the screen. Why are we spending so much time on the gifts of prophecy? So I want to, Craig kind of touched on this last week, but I just want to quickly go over some verses that are going to give us the why. And they all come from 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. Just going so quickly, follow the way of love. That's the previous chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. We are always motivated by love, not by greed, not by power, but by love. And eagerly desire gifts of the spirits, especially prophecy. Why would Paul single that one gift out? As uncomfortable as it makes some of us feel. Verse 3, two verses later, but the one who prophesies speaks to people for their what? For their strengthening, for their encouragement, and for their comfort. Is there anyone in this room who does not want to experience God's voice strengthening you, comforting you, and encouraging you? I'm pretty sure you want that and I want that. Well, when God does that through a person, it's called the gift of prophecy. Notice that what is not in this verse is foretelling. All right, if we look at the book of Acts, there are the odd occasion where this happens. The same is true in the Old Testament, but for the most part, the gift is defined by this verse. The next verse, verse 4 says, but the one who prophesies edifies this church, meaning builds up the church. If Stephen doesn't, Jesus say, I will build my church. Well, guess how he does it? He does it through the body and these gifts that build the church. Verse 12, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, which I hope you are, try to excel in those, meaning we're learning, we're growing, we're excelling in those that do what? That build up the church. Finally, verse 24, but if an unbeliever or an inquirer comes in while everyone is prophesying, they are convicted of sin. In other words, when this gift is operating, it can work in a powerful way to encounter someone who can get saved and recognize, as the verse says later, that God is among you. Listen, I want every single one of those wise. And despite some of our fears and our trepidation, I'm really hoping that we are going to embrace these wise. But before we go on, I just want to speak about something Craig also spoke about last week, and that is our life groups have been going into this a lot deeper. Deeper theologically, deeper from a practical perspective. They've been practicing this, and I've been loving hearing how God has been birthing new things in the context of our life groups. But just to let every single one of you know, these resources are available to everyone. You can find them in two places. If you go to our YouTube channel, Riverside Community SA, that's one word, Riverside Community SA, and go to the Spirit Equip playlist. You'll find all the videos, and in the description, you'll find the leader notes there as well. Otherwise, go to our website, go down about half a page, look on the right-hand side, click on Spirit Equip, and you'll find all of our videos and all of our notes. And while I believe that you'll be greatly encouraged if you go through these, you will very quickly pick up that it's very hard to do on your own. And this is why we want to encourage life groups. And so if you want to join a life group, come and connect with us after the service. Alternatively, if you've got a few family, a few friends, and you're like, Stephen, I'm keen to get this going in my own home, come and speak to us because the resources are there to encourage you and to equip you. But now to move us forward today, I'm going to focus on one verse, 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 20 to 21, which says this. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Now, this verse has such great wisdom for us, and I'm convinced that when we see abuse and misuse, it is because people aren't growing the gift according to how the scripture describes it to be used and how it ought to function according to God's word. And so what we even see in the book of 1 Corinthians, you read 1 Corinthians 14, the reason why Paul spends an entire chapter on two spiritual gifts is because they have been elevated to an unhealthy position. They are being abused and misused in the Corinthian church. Notice Paul doesn't say, just quit it. He goes, let me redirect you so that you can use it in healthy ways. And so the same challenge is to every single one of us. And so this verse challenges us, especially those on this side who are maybe nervous, maybe afraid, maybe you've got theological reasons why you do not want to embrace this, maybe you've seen one too many crazies online, maybe you've had one too many painful experiences. And so in your hearts, you're despising the gifts of prophecy. So this verse challenges you and says, listen, let's speak to the heart here. And when you see someone who wants to grow in this gift, when you see someone who maybe shares something in life group in accordance with this gift, or someone who shares something in church, what does this verse say? It couldn't be clearer. It says, do not despise. I would even go as far as to put it this way. What is it called when we get a clear command in Scripture that we disobey? It's called sin. And so I would even go as far as to say, when we despise this gift that we've just seen how God values, how Paul values, how it is there to build us up and build up the church, when we despise that, we are going against God's will. So this verse reigns in this side, but it also reigns in the other side, because there are those of us who want the work, the power, and the presence of the Spirit. And so you're signed up to every prophetic conference. You're signed up to every prophetic YouTube channel and everyone on social media, and you're sucking in everything in the name of the Spirit, and you're probably experiencing some great life, but you've probably also sucked in a whole lot of nonsense as well. And so for those of us who are eager for the things of the Spirit, sometimes words like discern, weigh, test can feel like we're quenching the voice of the Spirit. And so while this one verse challenges this side, it also challenges this side by saying we need to test. We need to test this gift, not because we want to quench the voice of God, but because we want to find out what is truly Him and hold on to that. And so today I want to speak about this verse from two sides. The one is the side of embracing, and the other side is the side of discerning. We're going to learn to embrace. We're going to learn to discern. So first let's talk about embracing. Now at the heart of it, what are we embracing? Are we embracing a spiritual gift? To some degree, yes. But I want to say, what is underneath that spiritual gift? The thing that you are embracing, the thing that you are to seek, is to seek the voice of God. In the midst of the voice of man, in the midst of the many voices in this world, what are we called to embrace? We're called to embrace the voice of God. Now, here's where some of us get pretty nervous. And again, Craig touched on this last week, but I want to kind of speak about this from a meme that I saw a couple of weeks ago. And the meme went like this: why would you want a word when you can have a verse? Why would you want this crazy prophetic word when we've got the authentic, authoritative word of God? In other words, listen, don't trust these crazy prophets. Don't trust the charismaniacs. We've got the authentic word of God, and let's go straight there. And I know this sounds so spiritual, and that becomes a wall we can hide behind. But here's the problem. While God's word is the main way God speaks, so here at Riverside, whether you're on this side or whether you're on this side, I just want to confirm and affirm God's word in Scripture is the main way God speaks. It is not the only way God speaks. While God's word is the only place for doctrine, it is the only place for doctrine. It is not the only place for revelation. Now, how do we know that? Because I've been drinking the wrong juice and now I'm also going down crazy train, right? No, I know that. Because the very scripture we want to defend is a scripture that speaks about this. It is the same scripture that speaks about how God wants to reveal His voice to us in so many different ways. So I want to start off as broadly as possible, because some of you are saying, Stephen, listen, you're talking about prophets, the gift of prophecy. Like, I just want to get through the service, right? And so that's not for me. I want to say it is for you. Because I believe that every single Christian needs to learn how to hear and discern the voice of God. Every single Christian. Do you know that the Pharisees knew the scriptures better than anybody? Jesus says to them, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Yo, quack, quack. Right? We can read scriptures in a way that leads to death. And so I believe every Christian needs to learn how to hear the voice of God. Stephen, give me some scriptures to help me come to the same conclusion. Ephesians 1:17, Paul is praying for the church. I pray this for me. I pray this for my family. I pray this for you. all the time. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom. Rabbit hole on its own, not going to go down there. The spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you can walk around telling everyone who they're going to marry, so that you can come up with new doctrines and sell tons of books about how the universe got formed and these kinds of things. No, so that you can know him better. But this word revelation is the word apocalypsis. It is literally the word to disclose. That God wants to disclose his voice to you so that we can read something in scripture and it doesn't penetrate, but then does start penetrating. Because now I'm starting to see, I'm starting to have what the scriptures call insight. I can see in to what is here. God wants to reveal his voice to you. Oh, and by the way, this is not for the prophetic team. This is for every Christian. Paul is praying this for the whole church. Here's another example. John 10:27. My sheep listen to my voice. Some translations say, my sheep hear my voice. Not just my prophets, not just my pastors, not just my elder teams, not just those who want spiritual gifts, but all who are my sheep, that's every single one of us, listen to my voice. So where can we find God's voice? Well, if we look at scripture, because that is always the first place we go, we can see that number one, at the top, God's voice speaks through scripture. Go into a lot more detail in this in some of the videos that are out there that we've done for the life groups. But he speaks through scripture. But he also speaks according to scripture through dreams and visions. He also speaks through nature, through angels, occasionally never experienced it, through an audible voice, through circumstances, through the counsel of many, through clear promptings, and the list goes on and on. And so, Stephen, if I'm just looking at the screen and I'm looking at all the different ways that I can hear God's voice, why is it that I will go years without hearing God's voice? Great story in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 18 tells a story many of us know about Elijah and the prophets of Baal and this big showdown between Baal and the prophets of Baal and Yahweh and whoever, you know, brings fire from heaven, that's the true God. And fire comes down from heaven and consumes the sacrifice and vindicates God, vindicates Elijah as a prophet of God. And such an amazing, powerful moment. And so many people start turning towards Yahweh because of that. However, King Ahab and Queen Jezebel are not excited about this. In fact, Jezebel wants Elijah's head because of what's just gone down. And so Elijah is afraid for his life and runs for the hills. Quite literally runs for what is called the mountain of God. Well, why the mountain of God? Well, what's happened at the mountain of God? We've got Moses. What did Moses experience at the mountain of God? God's presence. And what was that like? Well, it was overwhelming. Remember a number of weeks ago, we spoke about show me your glory. Man, it was earthquakes and it was fire and it was wind. And Elijah is depleted. He's desperate. He wants the presence of God. He runs all the way to this mountain. And now he's saying, okay, God, give me your glory. Give me your presence. It says that there was this mighty, mighty wind. Nothing. God was not in the wind. Oh, but Lord, you did that with Moses. What about me? Not in the wind. And there's this great fire. This great earthquake. Surely, Lord, you're in these great, mighty deeds. No, the Lord was in neither of those. Then we get to verse 12 and 13. After the fire came a gentle whisper. When Elijah heard it, he pulled his cloak over his face and he went out and he stood at the mouth of the cave recognizing this voice. And the voice said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? See, here's my point. We say we want to hear God's voice, but we are so busy and we are so inundated with the thousands of competing voices around us. And so you hear a sermon like this in church and you say, but Lord, I do want to hear that voice. But I'm convinced that what most of us mean by that is this. Lord, I want to hold on to these other voices. And I enjoy the distraction that these other voices give me. And so, Lord, while I hold on to these other voices, won't you speak louder than those other voices? When what God wants you to do is turn down the volume of those other voices, so that the craziness can just slow down in your head. And you can, for the first time, tune yourself in to that gentle, still, small voice, the powerful voice of God in your life. Think about that verse when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. Well, that's great. Except for the sheep who's got headphones on all day. The sheep who's always running to the other fold, the other shepherd over there is just like disappearing all the time. The sheep that's always running away. The sheep that's on like Facebook all day. The sheep that's staring into the mirror all day. The sheep that's distracted all day. All right? And yes, if that is us, we're not going to get used to the voice of the shepherd in our lives. And so you and I need to make a decision. If we want to hear the voice of God in our lives, we need to be willing to turn the dial down. In other words, there are going to be very real things in your life you need to be willing to say no to. Maybe even good things so that you can say yes to a better thing. So what does this look like? Well, firstly, this looks like, and I'm going to sound like such a broken record, Pastor, but I'm convinced of this. This sounds like saturating yourself with the words of God. You want to hear the voice of God? Saturate yourself. Saturate yourself with the words of God. Listen to what Jesus says about those of us who abide in Him. If you abide in me, or if you remain in me, and my words remain in you. There's this weird thing on this side of the spectrum where we start going into crazy town, where prophets are, we don't need the scripture. We don't need to get doctrine from scripture. We just, whatever I think, whatever I feel, that's the word of God to me. And there's this weird tension between the prophetic gift and scripture. Listen, when you read the prophets of the Old Testament from which we get so much of our scripture, when we look at the life of Jesus, when we look at the life of Paul, who gave us so much of our New Testament, do you think they sat down in the lotus position and waited from a word of the Lord with their Bibles closed? No, the opposite was true. They meditated on the words of God day and night. They learned the language and the vocabulary and the heart of God till it was in their bones. And it is out of that nourishing space that some of these other spiritual gifts started to operate, including the gift of prophecy. That is a non-negotiable starting point for every single one of us. But if we also want to learn to say no to things so that we can say yes to the voice of God, that's going to also look like, I almost dislike the word, but it's, you talk about spiritual disciplines. For some of us, we had the word discipline. It's like a spank from our parents, right? It's a spiritual discipline. It's like a spank from God. No. It's I'm choosing to say yes to God in this way because of what I know He's going to give me through this. And so I choose not just to do my devotion because God's up there and maybe I get a gold star and like He answers some other prayers in my day. No, I want Him. I want the gifts. I want the giver more than the gifts even. I want the presence of God in my life. I want to hear the voice of God in my life. So I'm going to intentionally expose myself to Him in scripture, in prayer, in silence like Elijah. Some of you are like, Stephen, I tried that once. It didn't work. It's like someone who eats KFC breakfast, lunch, and supper for 20 years, eats a salad on Monday, looks at themselves in the mirror on Tuesday, says, what's going on? We need to choose the voice of God in ongoing ways. But do you know what else? Just to make it a bit more real and practical for us. It looks like on your way to work, turning the radio off. Lord, this is me and you time now. And I'm just going to either pray, or I'm going to sit in silence, or I'm going to allow you just to speak into my life and, you know, maybe drop a person's name into my heart or drop a passage of scripture to encourage me or to encourage somebody else, but I'm going to turn that radio off. Maybe you like running and you like running, listening to, like I do, podcasts or music. Me taking the earbuds out. Lord, I'm going to go for a run, or I'm going to go and walk the dog, or I'm just going to go walk around the garden, but it's me and you time. And I choose to position myself close to your voice and close to your heart so that I can be one of those sheep that embrace your voice and does hear the voice of God. I say all of this because some of us want a shortcut to becoming this anointed prophet. This is not where it starts. Where it starts is I want Jesus, I want his life, I want his voice to be life-giving to me. And as I live and operate in this space, stuff starts to happen in me. And one of the ways is I start to hear his voice, and maybe I'm even empowered to share his voice. And I believe this is God's ideal for every single Christian, but for some, the clarity, the specificity, the regularity might grow to a degree that we're looking at the spiritual gifts of prophecy. And I really want to encourage every person in this room to seek and embrace the voice of God. So that's the embracing side. Let's talk briefly about the discerning side. Same verse, 1 Thessalonians 5:20 to 21. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all and hold on to what is good. Now, if on the embracing side, the big idea underlying that was to look for the voice of God, on the discerning side, the big underlying principle is, guess what? Look for the voice of God. As people share prophetic gifts, as we grow in these gifts, as more of this starts to happen in our life groups, in our spaces, in our families, in our church family, we are not just going to be gullible and believe everything everybody says, but I'm going to learn to test and I'm going to learn to look for the voice of God. Now, today I don't have time to go into the details between the Old Testament's gift of prophecy and how we got so much of our Old Testament scripture and the New Testament gift of prophecy. Once again, there's a video on that. All the details are there. But before we start pointing out the crazies, the guy who told three different women that God told me to marry you, the people who have become abusive, the way this gift can be so often misused for authority and power and even financial gain. Before we even go there, why don't we just stop and look at the Apostle Paul? What does he say about this gift? 1 Corinthians 13, verses 9 to 10, he says, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." This is why we need to test. For even when it is truly God, we still know in part and we prophesy in part. But when completeness comes, as we'll see in verse 12, the completeness refers to the fully revealed, gloriously returning King of the new heavens and new earth, Jesus Christ. When the completeness comes, what is in part disappears because now he's here. We don't need that gift anymore. Verse 12, for now we see, some of your translations say, through a glass darkly. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then when he returns, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. This is why I believe, despite the fact that in some charismatic Pentecostal prophetic circles, whether it's the leaders or whether it's on just the environment and how these things are spoken about, yes, in some spaces, prophetic words can be elevated to higher than scripture. Even according to Paul himself, every single prophetic word is less than scripture. We will never, ever, you should never, ever treat a prophetic word on par with the inerrant word of God. We're not going to despise the gift, but we're going to hold it appropriately. I watched a YouTube video, just a very influential conservative guy saying, if we allow this gift to operate, we're adding to Scripture. No, we're not. Prophetic words are subject to Scripture. We don't test Scripture, weigh Scripture. Yeah, that's God's word and that's not. No, all of Scripture is God-breathed and we receive all of Scripture as God's word, but we are told to test prophetic words, which is different to Scripture. But in the best case scenario, yes, we are testing by Scripture, but we're also fueled and formed by Scripture, which, by the way, here at Riverside Community Church, I don't have a chapter and verse, but based on everything that I've seen so far, here is what seems wise to us as leadership. That when we start operating in this gift, we use disclaimer language. In other words, we greatly discourage anyone saying on the basis of a prophetic word or a revelation, God says. The only time we can say that is when we're quoting Scripture. What we want to rather encourage, because I know in part, I prophesy in part. Hey, listen. Were you alive? Yeah, yeah. Hey, listen. I was praying for you the other day, and as I was praying for you, I got this word, this verse, this picture in my mind, and I believe it might be for you, and I believe God might be wanting to say something to you. And so can I just share it with you? And what do? You allow them to test. The minute you say, God says, you're not giving them the freedom to test what you're saying. Oh, but Stephen, prophet so-and-so, when they stand up say on stage, they say, God says all the time. Well, that's fine. They're going to be held accountable to God and all their wrong prophecies. Here at Riverside, we want to encourage humility. Let's share what I believe God might be saying and how I can share it in a humble way, allowing this person the freedom to test this. Let me tell you, if it's God, I promise you it'll fly. I promise you it'll land. I promise you it'll bear fruit. I guarantee you, if it's God. If it's you, you allow the person to go, thank you. I'll pray about that and maybe file it in the back of my mind. That's fine. And so who tests? If we're supposed to test them all, I believe every single Christian needs to learn how to embrace God's voice and tests. Whether you're the one who's growing in this gift and you're wanting to embrace this gift, you need to learn how to test. Whether you're the one, somebody comes up to you and says, I believe I've got something for you. Can I share that with you? You need to learn how to test and discern. Or whether you're sitting in a small group or you're sitting in a setting out there like I was on the Margate beachfront. Or we're in a church service and someone stands up and someone says, you know, it's usually someone we know and someone who's just got a proven track record with regards to this gift, but someone says, you know, I really sense, church, that God has this for us. You still need to test that. So how do we test that? Once again, there's another video on this. But we test this by Scripture. We test this with prayer. We test this with the spiritual gifts of discernment. God gives the church the gifts of discernment. We test this by personal resonance, meaning is there something just like me, that lightning bolt from heaven that is happening in me? Is this lining up with something the Lord's already saying to me? We test this by wisdom. We test this with the counsel of many, speaking to spiritual leaders, spiritual peers. We test this with time. And listen, I just want to put out a heart of the testing here. We don't test this so that we can become self-proclaimed heresy hunters so that we can burn the witches. We test this so that, like this verse says, we can find out what is God and hold on to what is good and what is God. Can you see the difference? I want to give you a piece of wisdom, and listen, this is going to save you so much chaos in your life. Please, please, never make a single life, I'm sorry, never make a major life decision based on a single random prophetic word. I believe if God wants you to move to China and become a missionary, if God wants to move you into full-time missions or full-time ministry, if God wants you to live a life of singleness despite everything else burning inside of you, I believe that God is going to make it so clear to you. He's going to speak to you in so many different ways. And some of those ways are going to be some well-timed divine words of encouragement and strengthening and comfort. And you're going to know it's God's voice because I've been praying about this. Maybe it works the other way around. Someone does give you a prophetic word. You're like, whoa, this is weird. I'm going to hang on to that. But then a week later, God says something else to you. A week later, somebody says something else to you, and something starts to grow inside of you. If you're going to make a major life decision, let that be the process you follow. And so I want to challenge you, church, to embrace seeking God's voice. As you read scripture, seek God's voice in scripture. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Embrace God's voice in prayer. Embrace the many ways that God can speak. So often, it's never happened to me as far as I know, but I go to sleep and one of the last thoughts I pray is, Lord, if you want to speak to me in a dream or a vision tonight, I'm here and I'm ready to hear from you. Hasn't happened, but I'm asking. Embrace a posture of humility. We see in part, we prophesy in part. And a posture of learning and growing. Ever be a student of God's voice. Embrace God's voice every day. This is not just something we switch on so that Steve can give me the mic and I can be the anointed person. No, this is a lifestyle. We abide in the life of Jesus and then he starts to lead me in a life of being led by the Spirit. I learn to hear and love and discern the voice of my Savior. That is true for your workplace. That is true for your spiritual life. That is true for your marriage and your family and yes, your life groups and coming here together on a Sunday. Look for God's voice, embrace it, and it will become life to you and life to others through you. See, this is the posture of understanding, going back to some of these ministry opportunities we have. That ministry isn't something I do and I hope God blesses and catches up with me. This is on the understanding that Jesus is King and Jesus is building his church and his Spirit is active in this world. And what I need to do is learn how to hear his voice so that I can partner with him. Tyler Staton, in his book on prayer, he says this, the assumption of biblical prayer is that God's action always precedes my request. The aim is not to get God in on what I think he should be doing. Rather, the aim of prayer is to get us in on what God is doing, to become aware of it. How? Through hearing his voice and to join it and enjoy the fruits of participation. And if more of us embrace this church, we will see more of God's power, more of God's presence. Just chatting to some friends last night and saying, listen, it's just human nature. Remember what God did in the life of the church 2 years ago when we did this Unstoppable series. Remember that sermon on prophecy, or remember in life groups, that was cool, right? Past tense. No, this is a lifestyle we walk in, we grow in. We're going to preach on so many different things from this point onwards, but you need to carry this with you so that we continue to see the fruits of how God is involving you in his miraculous and powerful and saving work. And so the challenge is to embrace this. And secondly, if we are to truly seek God's voice, I challenge you to grow in wisdom and discernment. Don't be gullible and non-discerning in your good-hearted desire to hear the voice of the Spirit. There are many voices disguised as God competing for your attention. Remember Moses and the snake? Pharaoh's wise magicians, they could do the same thing. That is miraculous. Let's not be those who are gullible. We need to learn to sift, weigh, and test. Again, not so that we become these heresy hunters, but so that we can hold on to what is good and what is God. And so I want to invite every single one of us to respond in prayer. And the way I want to encourage us to respond this morning is to just put into practice. We're going to carve out a small amount of space this morning. But maybe just a place for us to catch our breath. We've just been drinking from a fire hose. And so, Lord, I just want to slow my heart down. I want to slow my mind down. And there are so many things going through my mind and heart right now. And so, church, let's literally spend 60 seconds being still so that we can know that God is God. Holy Spirit, we still our hearts, our minds before you. There's something in us that wants to see you in the earthquake and the fire and the great mighty winds. But you turn all that upside down where you call us to quiet down our hearts, to slow ourselves down to your pace, to lean in to your voice, to count the cost of what it means to hear your voice. So Lord, as we quieten ourselves, I pray that for some of us, as we do this, whether it's now or during the course of this week, we'll start to recognize what is you. Speak to us, God. In the sound of silence, your gentle, quiet voice. Maybe you find your mind drifting, and so maybe just hold on to a single idea, like just saying that verse slowly, be still and know that I am God. Or maybe something like, Lord, you are here, and I am here. Maybe from 2 weeks ago, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, your word says that my sheep hear my voice, and I pray that for every person here, we would grow in surprising and beautiful and powerful ways how we hear your voice. Even today through this message is not the voice of a man, but we've heard something of the voice of God today. As we come to your word, there's something that comes alive in us as you give us insights and revelation. Wisdom. Church, if you don't hear anything, that's okay. The gift is not the main thing. The giver is the main thing. Just be with him. Let him be with you. Learn his heartbeats. Learn his presence. From personal experience, I think I'm a very long way away from this gift being fully formed in me. And yet I come daily. Lord, I want to know you. I want to know your heart. I want to know your voice. Lord, help us carry this desire with us, so that we can follow the way of love. And Lord, I anticipate you working in surprising ways in us and through us, seeing the fruit of God, the fruit of your power, your presence, your love working in us and through us. We need it. Lord, we need all of the inverted commas benefits of this gift. Our church needs encouragement. We need comfort. We need strengthening. We need to be built up. We want to see unbelievers, God, with you knocking on their heart and inviting them to faith. Some of us need to repent of despising the spiritual gift of prophecy. And maybe it's even a battle right now. Test everything I said today. Go to the scriptures. Read them for yourselves. And embrace God's voice. Some of you maybe need to just repent of saying, God, I've been so keen to hear your voice. I think I've become maybe less discerning. Lord, I want to zone in on your voice. Help me discern and grow. Lord, I recognize that despite what we are and are not feeling right now, that you are no doubt at work in us as a church and in us as individuals. Even for those of us who aren't here or who are listening online, your Spirit is with us and you are at work. And we want to choose to work with you and partner with you and see what you do. We surrender to you, God, for this and so much more. And all God's people said, Amen.